Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. If you're listening via our new Radio Plus iPhone app, did you know you can browse through recent podcasts according to show, or you can sort by companies discussed, even by the name of the guests? If you don't have the Radio Plus iPhone app yet, you'll want to download it. It's free via the iTunes App Store.
Ian Shepherdson with us from High Frequency Economics. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Tom. Good morning, Ken.
We have some housing data coming up. You have been resiliently optimistic on a better economy off of jobless claims and such. Wither housing. How does housing look?
Well, I got to say, I've been slightly disappointed by some of the more recent housing numbers. I don't think anything catastrophically bad has happened, but I was a bit disappointed by the existing home sales numbers, and I'm not expecting a blowout number on new home sales today, and I'm not expecting any pickup in prices short term. But I do still think that the combination of improving payrolls and better job security and better confidence is going to lift things over the next few months. It hasn't quite happened yet.
Joshua Rosner and Robert Wettenhall yesterday, folks, with just a must listen on housing here at Bloomberg Radio Plus, free out on iTunes and the App Store. Ian, Josh really talked up the entrenched recovery needed is 5 to 6 to maybe 7 years. Is that a correct glide path to housing normality?
Well, I'm sure it is if you're thinking about prices. I don't see the price gap between where we got to at the peak of the boom and where they are now. I don't see that gap closing for maybe a decade. So I have no objection to that sort of idea. I do think, though, that volumes are going to pick up quite quickly this year. I think we've got a lot of pent-up demand from frustrated first-time buyers over the last 4 or 5 years. And now that we've got a better labor market, I'm expecting a lot of those people to come back in. But there's still cautiousness and nervousness out there, and it's still not as easy to get a mortgage as a lot of people would like, and that's holding things back a bit. I also wonder if we got artificially good numbers in November, December, January on some of these indicators because of the extraordinarily warm winter weather. And so the seasonal uplift that the numbers expect to see in March and April might just not happen. But I think that's short-term rather than a fundamental disruption.
Well, Ian, we get Kay Schiller on Tuesday, on the 24th.
Yeah.
Should we look for continued price declines here?
With a bit of luck, I think it'll be about flat. Kay Schiller is actually quite sensitive in the short term to the movements in new home sales, in existing home sales, which rose in the fall. And so because of the lags in the numbers and the way Kay Schiller is constructed, it's sort of lagging behind those volume numbers. So I think we'll get prices about flat, which would be nice. Anything that isn't falling is good news. But I think the chance of that sort of morphing into an increase anytime soon is quite slim.
Ian, what are you most unsure of, not so much for Q2, but for after June 30th? What's the mystery in the last 6 months of this year?
Well, I think the mystery towards the end of the year is how we're going to resolve the inevitable political standoff with the requirement to raise the debt ceiling and the Republicans' very strong desire to extend the Bush tax cuts, which are supposed to expire at the end of the year. And I think we'll be starting to think about that, as we get into the summer, into the second half of the year. And obviously no one wants a repeat of the nightmare of the summer of last year, and my guess is that it won't be as bad as that, but it is certainly going to become, I think, an increasing issue for the markets, wondering just how this is going to work out, with of course, the added uncertainty of the election outcome as well. And I just hope it doesn't become a drag on activity. I hope that we get some clarity that a decision will be made, regardless of which way it's going to go. It's the uncertainty that's a killer.
Well, speaking of uncertainty, Ian, let me take you back to housing for a minute. What about foreclosures? Aren't we about due for a wave of foreclosed properties coming on the market?
Well, they're currently running at about a third of all transactions in the existing home market. So far, the lenders and the people who've repossessed the property are holding it back, relatively speaking. I suppose the fear is that if we get a big increase in demand, the temptation of people who've taken possession of properties will start to flood the market with them in the hope that now finally we can get rid of them. And that would be a dampening effect on prices just at the wrong time. But so far it's been okay. It hasn't really trashed the market in the way that it could have done if we'd seen an immediate wave. I think that the lenders have been reasonably rational and sensible in the way they've managed it so far.
Since housing is all local, in any given locality, are banks kind of keeping an eye on each other and trying to, limit the properties that are thrown on the market?
Yeah, I'm sure they are. But the problem is, of course, it only takes one to decide that this is the time to start selling. And then everybody else is also incentivized at the same time, because nobody wants to be the last guy left holding a bunch of properties that they can't sell. But so far, they've held the line. I'm reasonably hopeful that the potential for a pickup in real demand from real buyers is going to be big enough to absorb that stock in a reasonably orderly way. I mean, it does mean, I think, that it's very hard to be bullish on prices, even if you're bullish about housing transactions volumes, which I am. I could easily see home sales over the next couple of years rising 30 to 40% and prices going nowhere just because of the supply story.
Ian, you have done a terrific two pages on unemployment. Vice Chairman Yellen, President Dudley of the New York Fed, the chairman. And the sentence that's most interesting to me, the outcome in the markets will be an increase in real yields long before the Fed finally abandons the low rate pledge. That seems like a harsh outcome. What's going on?
Well, at the moment, the markets are happy to wrap themselves up in the Fed's pledge not to raise rates. But I think that as the data gets stronger, as I expect they will, I think that the string of downside surprises to the unemployment rate is going to continue indefinitely. And the Fed's forecasts are going to have to reflect that. I'm not expecting a massive change in the forecast next week. I think they will cut their unemployment rate forecast, but not hugely. But I'm just wondering where we're going to be two forecasts from now. So by the end of the year, by the November forecast round, I think their forecasts are going to have to be substantially lower. And the market's going to say, hey, you know, if this continues, there's no way you can sit there at zero for another 2 years.
You show the chart, as I do on Surveillance Midday, of the Evans glide path to 7% way out in 14 or 15. You're suggesting all of that glide path will happen faster?
Yeah, I think it'll have to be significantly steeper over the next couple of forecast rounds. I mean, bear in mind that here we are with the latest number for unemployment is March 2012, and the Fed's forecast, at the top of the Fed's forecast range for the fourth quarter of 2013 is only a tenth below the current unemployment rate of 8.2, a tenth. So they've got a lot of work to do. And, of course, the way they're rationalizing this, Yellen and Bernanke's recent speeches, is that the recent drop in unemployment is unsustainable, but I don't think it is.
This is great, folks. We had a bond expert in Martin Fritzen yesterday, an equity expert in Abby Joseph Cohen, and now we have a frontline market economist. Let me ask you the same question, Ian Shepherdson. When we release from financial repression, as you say, sooner rather than later, is John Tucker's 401k going to get pounded even further?
Well, I got to say, it's not a massively stock favorable forecast from me. I mean, I'm pretty clear that bond yields have got to go up, so I'm a fairly unambiguous bear on treasuries. But it's quite hard to be an unambiguous bull on stocks because I do think that the Fed's going to be raising rates, and I also think margins are coming under pressure now from a bit of a tighter labor market. You know, we've had a great productivity story for the last couple of years, but that's pretty much over now. It's going to be much harder for big companies to keep building their earnings at the rate that they have, and I am slightly nervous that the stock market's going to be a bit disappointed by that over the course of the year.
Well, Ken, jump in here. Folks, 14 days until the opening of the Tucker 401k envelope.
Oh, yeah? If I make it that
hardly
long.
If you make it. Hardly stand the suspense. Ian, do you have some timing here for when the Fed starts tightening up?
Well, I mean, I can't imagine they'll do anything until the middle of next year at the earliest, you know, even if they come under pressure and the economy turns out to be really quite strong. They seem to be very keen on seeing strength becoming embedded rather than just being something that's fleeting and uncertain. So they're going to wait until they've had, a solid run of strong data and the markets are positively screaming at them to move, which I think is reasonable in the circumstances. But I'd be very surprised if we got to the end of next year and rates hadn't moved, if the macro environment's anything like I think it would be. And I have no problem with that. I mean, you know, what has been Bernanke do? He stands up and says, I'm sorry I've had to break my promise and raise rates, but, you know, I did it because the economy's great. Who's going to shoot me down for that? I wouldn't.
No, Ian, thank you so much.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2012.